Thought I'd do things a bit different today. I don't talk about myself a whole lot, but I'm going to give you a little glimpse inside of what happens to me on summer vacation. I dress differently than I do this morning, as you might guess. But one of the things that I love to do, and I don't normally have the time to do it, is to read a good novel. You know, I used to really enjoy going swimming in Lake Superior. For some reason, I don't know why, I don't do that anymore as much. But last summer, as we were getting ready to have our annual week of camping with our family at our place on Lake Superior, Sandy said, "I think this is an author that I think you would really enjoy." And she said, "I finished reading the entire series. It's in the church library. And I think you ought to get it. The Resurrection File, Craig Parshall." And he's an attorney, and you know, I like the mystery novels and all of the twists and turns that come with it. And a good author will tell a story in such a way that it's like you're one of the main characters. Like you know exactly what is about to happen, or you think you do, and you're emotionally charged. And today feels kind of like that. It's kind of like you've read most of the book and you're about to come to the last chapter. And you wonder what's going to happen in the final chapter. And today we're going to kind of turn the page over to that final chapter and see how the storyline comes to a conclusion. 4 weeks ago, back the first of the month, I pivoted away from our story and our study in the book of Acts. We'd been looking at how God was working, fulfilling His plan through His people. But I sensed that we as a congregation had some big decisions to make. And it's something that we needed to take seriously and not flippantly or lightly or anything like that. And as a pastor, I desire to be able to provide help for all of us as we consider those significant choices. And so I chose to come alongside an 80-year-old guy who God had called to take His people from the land of Egypt to the promised land. Many years earlier, God had promised their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the rest of them, that He would give them a people and a place. And yet they've been slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. And so what we looked at over the last few weeks, the first three Sundays, we kind of tagged along with the children of Israel as they were going through those 10 plagues, the last one being the death of the firstborn, and how they quickly got out of the land of Egypt, taking all of the goods with them. The people of Egypt couldn't get them out of town quick enough and gave them their gold, silver, and precious stones and everything. And they experienced the power of God as God protected them because they were obedient to Him, shed the blood, put it on the doorposts of their homes. And they saw how God protected them. God had promised He would do that. He followed through on it. Shortly thereafter, they found themselves trapped up against the Red Sea. You remember that event, I'm sure, with nowhere to turn. And all they could see was Pharaoh and all of the chariots of Egypt storming over the horizon, headed right toward them. And instead of responding in faith, like God's got this, they're crying out, wanting to go back to Egypt. They were bewildered. And of course, they found they would experience the deliverance of God as they went through the Red Sea on dry ground, something that none of them expected. They've seen God provide food and water in the midst of a barren desert. They've experienced all of these promises being fulfilled. But as you know, they were quick to complain, bellyache, as it were, about everything that was their lot in life. Last weekend, you had the privilege of getting to know Dan and Penny Gabor and their three youngest children. You've heard and seen their heart for the love, for their love of the Lord and for people, the very qualities that God expects, not just of pastors and their wives and children, but all of us who name the name of Christ. That there would be something about each and every one of us who are followers of Christ, that we would love God supremely and others sacrificially. That would be our hallmark. That's what people would see when they look at us. You've prayed more specifically for wisdom as you've considered whether God would have them come to the Sioux and lead the Bethany family. And now today is the day that we determine whether to extend an invitation or not. Big decisions. Significant consequences that will come. Our passage this morning that we're looking at from Deuteronomy chapter 1, page 145 in your Pew Bible, actually occurs about 40 years after the events that we looked at 2 weeks ago. They've been through the wilderness wanderings. They now have come right to the edge of the Jordan River. Moses pauses and he's going to rehearse for them God's dealings with them as a people, and God's promises for the days to come. And he's going to pause and reflect on what God has done and remind them of what God expects in their life. Moses himself will not enter the promised land because of his own unbelief, where he lost faith. He didn't do as God asked him to do. He's not going to be able to enter the promised land, but he certainly wants this next generation to remember the faithfulness and the promises of God that he has made before he leaves for glory. It's kind of bittersweet for Moses. He's been putting up with the children of Israel for a long time, and he's not going to be able to experience the blessings of the promised land. But he wants those that he was responsible for, that he has been leading over the last 40 years, to remember and reflect and trust the promises of God. So we're looking at an incident that happened some 40 years earlier. They're at Kadesh Barnea, going to rehearse those things that happened, and because he wants them to think clearly about what God has promised and respond in faith. Deuteronomy chapter 1, page 145, I'm going to begin reading at verse 19 and probably go up through 25 to start with, and then we'll kind of circle back and see what God might have for us from this passage. Deuteronomy 1:19. Then we set out from Horeb and went through all that great and terrifying wilderness that you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said to you, you've come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up. Take possession as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has told you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Then all of you came near me and said, let us send men before us that we may explore the land for us and bring us word again of the way by which we must go up and the cities into which we shall come. The thing seemed good to me, and I took 12 men from you, one man from each tribe. And they turned and went up into the hill country and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. And they took in their hands some of the fruit of the land and brought it down to us and brought us word again and said, it's a good land that the Lord our God is giving us. What a great reminder here. So he's going to take a few minutes here and talk about their past and the lessons that they've learned. He wants them to think about the fact that over the last 40 years that they have experienced the faithfulness and the provision of God. The first 2 years on the road was that journey that took them right to Mount Sinai, where they would hear very clearly what God's expectations are of them. Sum up those Ten Commandments and all the additional teachings there with two phrases: love God supremely and others sacrificially. It all falls into that. You do those things, you're going to be in good shape. The problem is that none of us do it perfectly, and God expects, He requires perfection. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need somebody who would pay the price for us, because we are unable to do that. So He reminds them of the faithfulness and provision of God. The next 38 years, God protected them and provided for them in the wilderness. You've witnessed it. Your tummies were filled. You found that God kept all of His promises in spite of your behavior. That's what grace is all about. God giving us something we don't deserve. And the truth is a companion of that mercy, not God not giving us what we do deserve. All those 40 years, God told us that He'd give us the land. Now don't fear or be dismayed. Just trust me. Not me, but trust God. In verse 22 here in the text that we just read here a moment ago, I put it in the outline that's in your bulletin there. We would like more information. Isn't that like all of us? Wish we could just learn just a little bit more. Now, that would be so helpful. Maybe we could ask some more questions. And so they approach Moses, verse 22 there, and verse 23 as well. And basically, you could sum it up and say, hey, Moses, some advance information would be really helpful. None of us have been there before. Be kind of a good idea to know what we're going to be up against. Verse 23 in the text here, basically Moses is saying, yeah, it seemed good to me. The reality is, if you read the actual historical account in Numbers chapter 13, the Lord tells him to choose 12 men, one from each tribe. And Moses recognized the voice of God and their request of him. In fact, let me read it for you. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a chief among them. And so they bring a team of 12 together, one from each tribe, and send them on their way. Now Moses would be very clear. He'd give them these instructions, again from Numbers 13. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up into the Negev, that's the southern part, and go up into the hill country and see what the land is and whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether there are few or many, and whether the land that they dwell in is a good land or bad, and whether the cities that they dwell in are camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not. Be of good courage. Bring some of the fruit of the land back. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. I don't know for certain if Moses just had a hankering for some fresh grapes, but it was that time of the year. And so they send them off and on their way, and they are gone for 40 days and 40 nights, and then they return. And in verse 25 of the text that we've already read here this morning, Moses summarizes that report. He says, everything that you've heard about the land was spot on. I mean, it's everything you told us it was all about. And then they produced the grapes. And they saw that. And I want you to take note of at this particular point, because Moses is emphasizing the promises of God. It's everything He promised. There's nothing mentioned at this particular point about the negative aspects of the report that they brought. reminding them again that God keeps His promises. He fulfills what He says He's going to do. The balance of the chapter in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 26 through 46, is basically them saying, "We don't believe you, God. We just don't think we can trust you. We just don't believe you, God." Verses 26 through 28, I put in the outline there. The word on the street is, and of course, what you hear whispered to you is always spot on, right? I mean, if you read it on the internet, it's got to be true. They didn't have the internet then, but you get the idea. Everybody is saying, this is what it really is going to be like. Verse 26 says, yet, if you have the NIV translation, it says, but, it's a transition there, it's a contrast. Yet you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, He's brought us out of the land of Egypt to give us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Isn't that just like human nature? You know, to jump to conclusions, to think that something is true. The Lord hates us. That's why He brought us up out of Egypt. You can continue to read there. And He'll remind them that they heard the report that the people are tall and they're greater than us. The cities are great. And if you look carefully in that verse there, it says, and they're fortified all the way up to the heaven. And I put in my notes, really? I mean, it's kind of like Tower of Babel stuff. All the way up to heaven. There's no way we can get over those walls. And the sons of the Anakim are there, an ancient clan of giants. You get the feeling, the word on the street, we can't pull this off. The obstacles are too great. Verse 29 through 31, Moses reminds them of what God has said. And that's something that we need to hear. That's why it's so important for us to read the Word of God on a daily basis, to hear God's voice. He reminds them of what God said. Verse 29 says, then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you will Himself fight for you, just as He did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where you've seen how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son all the way that you went until you came to this place. Have you forgotten everything that God has done for us? So easy to forget those things. When you're listening to the whispers in your ear and thinking that, well, God must hate us. He must not really forgive when He promises that He will do that. And nothing could be further from the truth. Verses 32 and 33 is a significant indictment. He basically says, but you did not believe the Lord your God. Again, that word yet shows up. Yet, in spite of this word, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents, in fire by night and in the cloud by day, to show you by what way you should go. God's done it. God's brought you all the way here. You're right here at the edge. But you did not believe the Lord your God. And again, all of this section here is Moses looking back to the past, reminding them of what they have been through the last 38 years, that they wandered around in the wilderness waiting for their parents and grandparents to die. But your parents and grandparents paid the price for their disobedience. Verse 34, and the Lord heard your words and was angered, and He swore, not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land that I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and his children I will give the land in which he has trodden, because he has wholly followed the Lord. Even with me, the Lord was angry on your account and said, you shall not go in there. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall enter. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit. And as for your little ones, who you said would become a prey, and your children who today have no knowledge of good or evil, they shall go in there, and to them I will give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn and journey into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea. Again, looking back 38 years ago, the words that Moses shared with them from God. So their parents and grandparents paid the price. They turned and went back into the wilderness. Some of them thought, well, God promised he would give us the land, so let's get in there and get it. And the balance of this chapter here, you can see that they did, and they were defeated just because they would not obey. They did not have faith. Ignoring the command and then simply saying you're sorry isn't good enough. And so they all died because of their unbelief. Caleb and Joshua believed, and they're here today with us. I'm about to die. This is Moses speaking. I will not experience the promised land because of my own belief. You are the survivors, and God will give you the land just like he promised. So we've been on a journey together for the last four Sundays. And we've tagged along with the children of Israel on their way to the promised land. All along the way, the Lord has tested them to see if they would really trust God and leave all of the consequences to him. He'd take them to a place where there was no water, or the water that was there was bitter, and God provided for them. He provided for them manna from heaven and quail for a period of time to provide for their needs. And God made it crystal clear to all of the descendants of Israel that he had promised them a people and a place, and now it was about to become a reality. Everything that they had been promised is about to happen. They're pausing right here at the edge of the Jordan River. The balance of the book of Deuteronomy is this period of time, perhaps 3 or 4 weeks, where Moses rehearses that for them the history of their nation. But they're right there at the edge. They can see the promised land. Moses is going to remind them of all of the promises of God. Last Sunday, you were able to listen and meet Dan and Penny Gabor, who the search committee and elders have unanimously recommended to us to be our next lead pastor. Now, we do not have the same level of unconditional promise that Israel had to say that this is the family to lead us in the days to come. We don't have that kind of a promise. We've not had the luxury of a pillar of cloud and fire to guide the search committee as they worked through a number of issues and as they looked at various individuals. Boy, it would have been nice to have known that, if we just follow this column of cloud and fire, then we'll be right on. It wasn't that easy. But what we do have are the promises of God that remind us that he is very much concerned about us as individuals and as a forgiven family who are gathered together here in the Sioux. He's very much concerned about us. Now, a pastor is one of God's gifts to a local assembly of believers. We won't take the time, but if you look at Acts chapter 20, you'll see Paul talking to the elders there in Ephesus and telling them that when he leaves, when he departs, that there are ferocious wolves just waiting to attack. Anytime a church is without a pastor, It's like open game for the evil one. It's difficult. It's challenging. God's gift to a church is a pastor. Not perfect, but growing, progressing toward that. So a pastor is one of God's gifts to a local assembly of believers. We've been asking God, together as a congregation, to prepare us, as well as the pastor and his family, to give us wisdom to recognize his direction in the process. And Jesus has promised us that he would give us that wisdom if we just would believe, have faith. Not wavering, but trusting him. And now we come together to determine what his will is for this next chapter of Bethany Baptist Church. Trusting that God will guide us as we kind of flip the page to the last chapter in this edition of Bethany's history. Trusting that God will guide us here on the west side of the Sioux. So I'd like for us to close in prayer, and then some of you, if you need to leave, can be dismissed, and then we'll begin our meeting, and Don will come this direction. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you are a God who never gives up on your people. Undoubtedly, you become frustrated with us when we choose to live life on our own terms and say things and do things that we live to regret. I just pray that, Father, as we look toward the future, recognizing that you're a God who loves us unconditionally, that has promised us that as far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us. Lord, we look forward with anticipation to what you want to do in this place. And we're grateful, Father, for the lessons that we've learned along the way. Help us to continue to respond by faith. And we pray this, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.